Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Dr. Varnage, bear you and me, so I'm glad that it's working now. Simple solutions, right? My name is Uchenna Ndulua. I'm the director of the Boston Area Health Education Center at the Boston Public Health Commission. I'm kind of rounding out this panel by talking about the practice end. So what I'm going to talk about is essentially presenting all the concepts that we've heard today to youth. How do you educate youth about concepts around health equity and health disparities? There's a lot of people who helped me with this work. Becca Rector, Vivian Morris, Rashawn Knowles, Jeremiah Wardberry, Jasmine Shorter, Millette Meshesha. This has been about 2 years in the making, and it's a constant process that we have at the commission. I have no financial disclosures to disclose. So where do we get our name from? How many of you read this this article by Dr. Kamara Jones, Gardner's Tale? Okay, awesome. All of you have homework if you haven't read it, okay? Essentially, the Gardner's Tale is this amazing allegory of how we could look at racial justice, how we could look at how groups could get disparate health outcomes based on structural, interpersonal, or internalized factors. One of the reasons that it's a beautiful allegory is, first, it's simple. It's approachable, it's a story, it's easy to take a very complex issue, and it makes it simple. Another thing, too, is it's not quite threatening. When we think about things like health equity, when we think about things like racial justice, those are things that are emotionally loaded. But this gives us a kind of a more calm, a more approachable way for you to understand it. And then one of the last neat things about this allegory is that it includes a call to action. It suggests policy remedies, some of those things which Dr. Lieberman actually referred to in her speech. And so this is kind of the framework for how we look at the program. Basically, in this presentation, I'm going to talk about some of the challenges about educating youth around issues around health equity. I'm going to talk about some of the key components that we use when we do that, and think about the strategies that we use for those frameworks. First, a little bit about the Boston Public Health Commission. The Boston Public Health Commission likes to consider itself as the oldest health agency in the nation. One of the things that we do in this mission is about protecting, preserving, and promoting health, is that we have explicit focus on health equity through the lens of racial justice. We have three health equity goals that we want to achieve by 2016, including reducing infant mortality among black women, reducing obesity among black and Latino populations, as well as reducing chlamydia among teens. And all of these are explicitly framed in a health equity perspective. The Boston Area Health Education Center is a department in the Boston Public Health Commission. Its whole focus is around increasing the proportion of youth from underrepresented populations who become health professionals, who become people and sit in the seats that you're sitting in right now. We do that through academic enrichment and other health career exploration activities. We work with predominantly students of color from Boston Public Schools, predominantly low income. We have about an impact rate of about 500 students a year. There's kind of four components of our programming. We do academic enrichment, preparing students for post-secondary education, community college, vocational school. We also do internships, guided internships, where students follow health professionals' mentorships. We also do health career exploration, in which we do survey courses exposing youth to different health careers. But lastly, what I'm going to talk about today is the work that we do around health equity and racial justice. Our in-school program, we work with about 6 to 8 middle schools during the school year, and we deliver a 10-module course around introduction to health careers. Two of those modules are focused on the social determinants of health and health equity. After school, we have several courses that focus on particularly survey courses around becoming a nurse, becoming a medical interpreter, becoming a dentist. We have a lot of diversity of becoming an occupational therapist. We have a diversity of different careers, but we also focus on foundations of health careers. We talk about health literacy, having students know about health insurance. How many of you knew about health insurance before you went to college? Okay, I knew about it after grad school, okay? I got it in my MPH, okay? All right, so we want our high school students to go in a step ahead, but we also have a course specifically around health equity in our after-school space. Then lastly, we have a six-week, 25-hour-a-week summer institute where students do academic enrichment. They do mentorships. They'll follow doctors, physicians, public health professionals. They'll also do SAT preparation, college preparation courses. But of course, again, we have a health equity component where they'll do workshops around health equity. So we do a lot of health equity work, a lot of work around racial justice. What are the challenges that we see? First of all, this idea around translating health equity, you know, into a way that youth can understand it. Dr. Lieberman said, we are, as a profession, we focus really individually. We don't focus on structural causes for health disparities, health inequities. We're always focusing on what an individual could do, you know, eat better, you know, don't smoke, run. And what we're trying to do is, and if you think about health education that youth get in schools, it's very similar to that. It's always very individual behavior focused. And so what we want to do is we want to try to translate this structural framework and make it relatable to high school students. Lastly, we want to also recognize that, remind me of your name.
Vardran.
You mentioned this idea around resilience, you know, and we work with highly resilient students, right? So they've experienced issues like trauma, like violence. And so when we're talking about, you know, the idea that black women have twice as much infant mortality as white women, that isn't abstract. That's contextualized in their lived experience. So if we're going to talk about that, we have to talk about it in a way that protects them, that they feel safe talking about it, and that is, you know, triggers these ideas of resilience and hope as opposed to triggers, you know, this feeling that re-traumatizes the students. And then lastly, we also want to think about this. When we think about structural issues, structure is big, policy is big. And when we don't want our youth to believe that these are issues they cannot control, that the world is going to happen to them, they don't have any volition or agency. And so we want to avoid this idea around fatalism and powerlessness. We want to focus on the idea around hope. So how do we do that? Well, there's a couple of things we do. There's some core processes that we focus on, and then there's some strategies that evolve from those processes. The first thing that we really focus on is that we scaffold the education based on the development of the student. So for our middle school students, we do survey courses. We talk about health equity. We just want them to define it. We want them to think about it. We want them to think about some appropriate examples, but we don't want to necessarily personalize it at that level. Okay. But our high school students will engage a little bit more deeply. We'll have them do some work around advocacy. We want to scaffold the education, and we want to build on education that we start with in the middle school through their high school curriculum so that they're prepared. Another thing that we do is we do a lot of work around team building. Team building is really kind of like an easy way of saying all that social emotional work that you need to create a safe space for you to share. For you to share your experiences with inequity, for you to engage with these difficult concepts in an honest and authentic way. And then lastly, we need spaces for reflection. We need students to be, we need the youth to be able to think about how this works in their life, how to share, to integrate this into how they think they should go about their work, how they should go about their occupations, how they should go about their educational career. And also out of that comes kind of these four strategies that we use. The first thing we use is storytelling. We start big. We start in abstract concepts. Then we bring it down to simulations, where we have experiential activities for students who kind of see these concepts in play without having to personally engage with it. After that, then we start contextualizing it to their lived experience, to their neighborhoods, to their to them. And then finally, we end with advocacy. Again, we want to end with hope. So there's nothing, you know, there's nothing more empowering than doing something. So we want to end students end by doing something. So we tell a story. I started this presentation talking about one of the best stories around racial justice called The Gardener's Tale. Essentially, it's a tale of two flowers that happen to grow in different ways based on a lot of structural, interpersonal reasons. That's a big story, you know, and it's not one I could tell, and Dr. Kamara Jones tells it so much better than me, so, you know, don't do what she can do better. She's the president, after all. But it's a really big story. It's a great story, but it's one that, again, if we're thinking about scaffolding knowledge, that might be a lot for a middle schooler to understand. So we tell some other stories, too. We tell the story about shoes. Those are my shoes, about 13-inch loafers. One of the stories we say is, all right, we want to make sure students know the difference between equality and equity. All right, there's still even a political debate about what does equity mean. Does it mean everyone gets the same stuff, or does it mean that people get what they need? And so we use the example, all right, what if I give everyone in this room 13-inch loafers, size 13 male loafers, all right? Would that be fair? And I'm not going to ask you to respond, but the students usually say, no, that's not going to be fair because I am a size 6 and I want heels. Well, middle schoolers probably don't want heels. But like they'll say, this doesn't relate to my lived experience. And so we have them start to have this conversation, okay, what does it mean to be fair? Does it mean equality? What does equity mean? And the idea would be that they would eventually get to the point that equity means that people get what they deserve for optimum health. The fence analogy is a very similar one, in which you have three people trying to look over a fence. One's really short, one's kind of middle height, and one's really tall, could look over a fence without any help. What do you give to each of those people so that they could all look over the fence, or essentially all reach their optimum level of health? All right? These are kind of our analogies that we start with. They're not threatening, right? You know, you could talk about this. You could talk about this at, you know, coffee with a friend. You won't feel like there's a big issue around it. But it's an idea to kind of have them think about this abstract notion. After that, we start doing games. A really simple one is that we start giving students, everyone in a room, an M&M, and say, okay, here you go. Is this a fair distribution? And then we start giving them more M&Ms. For example, we might say, all right, everyone who's a male here gets an M&M. And the reason they get an M&M is males typically burn more calories than women, and so is that fair? You know. And of course, the men say yes, the young men say yes, and the young females write and say no. And then we say, okay, we'll give M&Ms to athletes. And then we start having them think about this conversation about how does resources be distributed and how do we do it in an equitable fashion. Again, recognize that none of that question is not, there's no right or wrong in that question. I mean, there is somewhat of a right or wrong, but it's a question that's open for debate. We want them to engage with the ideas in an open way. Then we start with more complex simulations. There's an activity called Build a City. It's through Peace First. The idea is that the students are separated into groups and given disparate resources, and they have to build a city. They have to build a healthy city. And as this, they don't know that they have different resources until like a couple rounds in the game, when they start to realize that one city starts having all these complexes, all these hospitals, while this other city has only been able to build a bodega. And you'll be able to compare and say, okay, why is this happening? And then how do they start to address it? Very similar activity is called Star Power. It's through simulation games, and I have these resources at the end of these slides. And what they do is they exchange chips. And again, the chips that they have is essentially currency. The currency is distributed differently among the group. So eventually, there's a group. The groups get separated into classes. There's a rich class, there's a middle class, there's a poor class. And the rich class eventually starts being able to make rules for everyone else. Okay, and the students again don't get it onto the third iteration of the game. But they seem to be staying in their same class or going lower. Maybe one or two people will go up, and then all of a sudden, the folks who are in power start to make really Machiavellian rules. Like I've done this activity several times, and the rules are always terrible. Okay, and so they start to see that this idea around disparity, this really around structural inequity, how it could get built in, and how people can perpetuate it. After that, we make it real. We start contextualizing it to their lived experience. On the right is a map of the city of Boston. The Boston Public Health Commission produces a Health of Boston report, which is essentially BRFS data that's based on neighborhood. And you could look at those neighborhoods, and I think that's asthma prevalence, and map it to racial and ethnic demographics. And they start to say, okay, what neighborhood do I live in, and why is it that there are some health inequities that are not present in other neighborhoods? Now, I've been new about America's health rankings before. I would have done that, but you know, maybe we'll do that going forward. Okay. And then after that, they start sharing their stories. They start sharing in a kind of an open way, thinking about the experience that they've had, but thinking about it from a really resilience-based framework. And we start having guided discussions, reflection, and there's a lot of different ways we do this. It's very dependent upon the group. But the whole idea is that we take this abstract, we take the experiential learning, we contextualize it to the lived experience. Some of the ideas to guide reflection, that we think about the what, so what, now what framework, where they think about what happened in the activity, what happened in their neighborhood, so what does that mean, and then how does that Now what? What should they do about it? And that segues into that last component I talked about, which they get involved. They do something. They do some type of activity to redress these issues. This is them at a Youth Jobs campaign. This is them at a Youth Jobs campaign, where their Youth Jobs rally. They decided to march to essentially the state of Massachusetts funds a certain amount of youth jobs every year, and the students every year advocate to march for it. But if we're talking about specifically health, and that goes back to the idea that health, there's health in all policies, right? Another activity that they did, and this is a project that we did just this last year, is that the gardener's tale is a great analogy, again, of racial justice, but how many middle school youth garden in Boston? Not many. And so what they said is that we need to make this real for ourselves. We need to make this relevant for ourselves. And so they took the gardener's tale analogy, and over the course of a semester, they developed their own PSA around... they developed their own PSA around structural inequity. Essentially, they had gray puppies and red puppies dropped off at a shelter, and the puppies had very different health outcomes based on the favoritism of the shelter keeper. They called it the shelter keeper's tale, and the idea is that the gray puppies perpetuated, they weren't really adopted, the red puppies were cared for and loved, even though the puppies were pretty much the same. And they thought that this was a way that would be more resonant for them to educate their peers about this idea of racial, you know, structural inequity, structural inequality. That is still being worked on, but I'd love to share you a link, but it's still being vetted. But it's pretty good. I like it. So at the end of the day, our strategies were to tell a story, you know, using metaphors, allegories, anecdotes, play a game, incorporating team-based activities, you know, making it real, contextualizing the work that they do by their own lived experiences, and getting involved, allowing them to have a say in these inequities, do something about these issues. Okay. Thank you. Here's some references and resources, and if you guys ever want to do games with your youth, please let me know. All right. I know I do. All right.